Well, first this lunchtime, this programme has learnt that Garda headquarters has informed the Department of Justice that the force has lost more than one third of their in-house permanent IT staff. According to the confidential letter, which came directly from the acting Garda Commissioner's office, the force has been left heavily reliant as a result on outsourced private sector workers, and from one company in particular, to operate and maintain the state's highly sensitive law enforcement and national security computer systems. Our reporter John Burke has seen a copy of the letter. I spoke to him shortly before coming on air. I began by asking him about the background to this letter.
But this letter was written to the Department of Justice in recent weeks. It was drafted on foot of a query from the department about a particularly large contract which the force has with Accenture, for which that firm receives around €26 million per year. Now, an issue had arisen within the force about certain concerns first identified by their own internal auditors, that there was no retendering of a contract which the firm had won several years ago, but for which the terms of that deal had expired. And it's in this context that the Acting Commissioner, Donal O'Coolan, was writing to the department explaining the force's reliance on private sector companies and of this Accenture contract, which is by far the largest, accounting for half of the approximately €50 million that the force spends on private sector contractors every year.
Now, that €50 million, it gives us some idea of the amount of money paid out to external IT specialists. Does this letter tell us why there's that sort of a scale of reliance on outsourced staff?
Yes, it does. The Acting Commissioner sets out in fairly unambiguous terms in this letter the extent of the loss of skilled IT staff from within the organisation. It's more than one third of all permanent staff. It's actually 37%, so that's a huge chunk of their skilled IT in-house permanent staff that have gone. And he says that this has led to, quote directly, by necessity, an increasing reliance on external skilled resources. And he goes on to say in the letter that it's critical that the force has all of the skilled staff that it needs to maintain and operate these highly sensitive law enforcement and national security systems. So they're dealing with the highest level of Garda data that the force has access to.
And now they're talking specifically about one major contractor in this letter, Accenture. What do they say about the potential over-reliance on this service provider and whether it raises any challenges in itself?
Well, yes, as we said, Accenture accounts for nearly half of their private sector spending on IT services. That's from the force. And in this regard, the Acting Commissioner says, again, unambiguously in the letter, that they have become reliant on this one supplier precisely because of this shortfall in in-house permanent IT experts. And what the Acting Commissioner says specifically is that in the absence of sufficient numbers of permanent IT staff with the requisite skills and experience, there is, as he says, of necessity, a high dependence on the main incumbent supplier, Accenture, to support the force's critical information systems. And on that, it says as well that there would be a challenge down the line without these staff in transitioning to any sort of change if they were to move from reliance on that one supplier.
And does the letter say anything about whether the Gardaí have any plan or indeed the available funding to address this problem?
It does. In fact, it says that the force has put together a business plan to hire more in-house experts. A business plan, as you know, is what any agency of the state prepares when they're writing to the department which oversees them, looking essentially for more funds. I've been on to the Garda press office to ask how advanced that plan is and whether they've secured funding or indeed permission to try and bridge that gap. They said they weren't in a position to reply to us over the weekend, but they would endeavour to come back to us. As we know, skilled IT experts are in considerable demand internationally. And I've been speaking to Colin Larkin, his director of the IT consultancy Moquam, about the challenges the Guards would face trying to fill that gap, not just from this market, but from the international market. But I first began to ask him how big an impact losing more than one third of an organisation's skilled in-house IT staff would have on an agency like the Guards.
It's massive. Even if this was a private company, to lose that level of corporate culture within an organisation is just a huge impact. You're going to spend years building up knowledge and training people and get them working the way that you need them to work within your organisation. It doesn't matter whether it's private sector or public sector, it's going to be the exact same thing. Even if you go out tomorrow morning and replace staff, you're going to have an impact on the corporate culture that's going to take X number of years before it's actually going to work its way through and the problem's sorted. Unfortunately, cybercrime now, for example, in the UK, exceeds traditional crime. So, you know, going down by 37%, it's going the wrong direction. It needs to be going up by 37% year on year just to correct that.
And that's the shortfall in terms of in-house IT staff. To plug that gap, the guards have had to rely on bringing in a lot of external, outsourced, private sector IT experts to do the job that the previous in-house people would have done. Are there any additional risks from using a greater number or a higher proportion of outside IT staff as opposed to your in-house people?
I think for certain, and especially when you're looking at national security service such as the Gardaí, there's a corporate culture there, and you know the attitude and training that guards will receive when they join in the first instance, it's all about security, it's about confidentiality, it's about, you know, this is a crime, we need to be very careful who we actually talk about. If you're coming from the private sector, it's not quite like that, and I think there is a risk. And even when people move out of the roles, like people tend to change jobs more often when they're in a private sector than they would in the public sector. When someone leaves a role, you would kind of lose a lot of the controls you would have over the person in terms of confidentiality. And many of these crimes might take, they could take a couple of years to prosecute through the courts. And, you know, to lose people midway, it's going to have an impact on the actual prosecutions themselves. But I also think there's a risk on sensitive data and information that is Garda related going into the private sector, which you don't necessarily want to have.
And in terms then of trying to hire more in-house permanent IT staff with the expertise that would be required for a policing organisation, you know the market now at the moment. How difficult is it to actually get the people you would want, considering the level of employment we're at nationally and the global market for skilled IT people?
Right now at the moment it's next to impossible. For example, just in the data protection space alone, there's something around 25,000 expert people needed in the European Union alone. In the broader global sense, there's an extra 75,000 needed. And the guards are competing with that. And right now at the moment, people have until, companies have until, you know, they've less than a month to comply with this new data protection regulation. So the demand for staff is just going to increase over the next year and a half, 2 years. So the guards are going to have a huge challenge trying to, you know, encourage people into a civil service. Pay is an issue, terms and conditions, all that sort of stuff. You have in a, are you going to compete with the Google office versus a Garda station somewhere?
And that was IT consultant Colin Larkin ending that report from John Burke.